50% righteousness.
Yo, Angela Yee, I love you.
50% ratchetness.
Tell them ratchets to sit down.
I'm more like 95% ratchet.
This is becoming the most prominent forum for hip-hop.
Wake your ass up.
Yeah, it's early in the morning, but they told me it was y'all. I said, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting up.
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Your people's choice.
Angela Yee.
I'm a sweetheart, but I'll cut you.
Charlamagne the God.
Principles and people.
I can't believe you guys are the best, kid.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Friday.
Yes, it's Friday. Work week starts today.
How I sound on the microphone? Because I can't hear myself.
You sound, you good money.
Hello, hello.
You good money.
Oh, okay. All right, if y'all say so.
All right.
What's happening?
Well, it is Friday. Of course, we have Monique, comedian and actor Monique. She'll be joining us this morning.
Mo Worldwide is here.
So we'll be kicking it with Monique a little bit later. It should be very interesting.
Why are we acting like this is a live interview? You know Monique had her Periscope going yesterday during the interview, and she already leaked it online.
She leaked it to some people. Some people haven't heard it yet. They just heard about it.
That is true.
We'll air it today.
Let's not assume that everybody knows that.
I definitely know everybody don't know it because her Facebook ain't popping like that. But my thing is, it's an hour-long interview.
Uh-huh.
The whole thing will be out in full later today, but we'll be playing some of it next hour.
Right, and this is the second time ever, I think, in Breakfast Club history that we haven't taken a picture after the interview with the person.
She just left.
Yeah.
Who was the first?
Birdman.
Oh,
okay. We didn't take a picture with Birdman because he just left, and we didn't take a picture with Monique. Hmm. Those are the two people that we haven't taken pictures with.
She did have to go and
interview,
and she was, you know, we went over
Monique,
the time.
Stop lying. Monique did not leave happy whatsoever, okay? She actually, you know what? I'm gonna put that little piece of the video out later, but you'll see how she left later on.
Yeah, she gave me a hug though. She gave me a nice hug and she said some words to you.
She definitely gave you a hug. She called me a slave or something like that.
She said something with the Django.
She was leaving?
Yeah, something with the Django.
It wasn't the Django. It was Birth of a Nation. She said I was the slave that would take his wife to master to let master sleep with him or something to that effect.
Yeah, that's what she said.
I must have tuned out too early in the
room. No. She said that right before she walked out.
I didn't hear that.
Oh, we got that on video too, baby. One thing about me, I tell the cameraman, keep the cameras rolling from beginning to end, okay? We don't miss nothing.
All right. Well, that should be a lot of fun. That happens next hour. We'll get that on. And we got front page news. What are we talking about, Yee?
We are going to talk about the Missouri Governor, Eric Greitens. He has been indicted. We'll tell you what he did that caused that to happen.
All right. We'll get into all that. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. It's a Friday. Now, let's get in some front page news. Now, let's talk Missouri Governor. What's going on in Missouri, Yee?
Well, yes, the Missouri Governor, Eric Greitens, was indicted yesterday because of allegations of sexual misconduct and blackmail after he did admit that he had an affair. This all went down last month. He was charged with a first-degree felony invasion of privacy. Now, he is saying that he just made a personal mistake, and this is before he was in office. He said, as I have said before, I made a personal mistake before I was governor. I did not commit a crime. With today's disappointing and misguided political decision, my confidence in our prosecutorial system is shaken but not broken. What happened is he took a picture of the woman in full or partial nudity without her knowledge or consent and then transmitted that image in a manner that allowed access to that image via a computer. So he's not allowed to do that, and he was trying to blackmail the woman in trying to keep her quiet about their sexual encounter.
Well, first of all, if you're trying to keep your sexual encounter quiet, don't take pictures of the young lady. Why are you building a digital trail for yourself?
Well, I guess he took it to be able to blackmail her later on so that she wouldn't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm. Man, please, give us some money like everybody else. What's wrong with you? First of all, how old is he? That's the 14, 15-year-old dude. I got a nude picture of you, so you better act right or I'm going to show it to everybody.
Let's be clear, this woman also was married, so her his her now former husband is actually the person who also gave details about his former wife having an affair with Greitens back in 2015.
Thanks. So first of all, that's the best type of person to cheat with. If you married and they married, both of y'all got something to lose. So
until
both
you
of
get,
y'all keep y'all
until
mouth
you
cut.
Get caught, and Charlamagne? Then her husband tells.
No cheating is ever good, Charlamagne. You're
no,
married,
no
man.
Cheating is good, but I mean, you know, if you're going to do it, that's the way to do it. You know, you cheat with somebody that got something to lose like you do.
Now let's talk about these. What happened with the Florida shooting? Now,
all right. Well, the sheriff's deputy who did not engage the shooter at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School feels like he did a good job, but he has resigned. Now, here is what Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel had to say about Scott Peterson. First, he suspended him without pay, and then Scott Peterson abruptly retired because they have video footage showing that he actually never went inside the building. He was outside the building for 4 minutes while the shooter was killing students and faculty.
So he heard the shooting and then just decided, hey, this is not
everything.
For me.
He didn't go inside, but he did call it in. So he feels like he did a good job.
And hold on, he's a sheriff?
No, the sheriff speaks on why he suspended Peterson. He's a school resource officer.
Oh, so, okay. Is that the school resource officer's job? You don't got a school resource officer, don't got no gun, right?
Yeah, I think he does have a gun.
Yeah, he should. He
has a gun. That's his job. He's doing security.
So if he had a gun and he's doing security and he's shook, how do you think teachers going to feel?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, let's hear what the actual sheriff who suspended Peterson without pay, Scott Israel, has to say.
Scott Peterson was absolutely on campus through this entire event. He was armed. He was in uniform. After seeing video and Scott Peterson's very own statement, I decided to suspend Scott Peterson without pay pending an internal investigation. Scott Peterson chose to resign because he has the necessary time with the agency and meets the requirements of retirement. He resigned /retired.
So he never engaged Nicholas Cruz at all. He basically stood outside the building, called it in like, yo, there's a shooter, and... I mean, what good is that?
Scott How Peterson, old was he?
First
How
of all, old he, was froze. He froze.
He definitely froze.
Did he freeze?
Come on, this ain't Wakanda. Stop it.
He froze. Scott Peterson froze, and there's nothing wrong with that. The guy had an AR-15. But all I'm saying is if Scott Peterson had a gun, all right, and he was shook and scared to go in there and engage with this guy, how do y'all expect teachers to engage with this guy or these guys?
The thing is, yeah, and there's definitely something wrong with him freezing. I mean, that's your job. That's what you're there for. You could have saved 17 lives.
Hey, everybody got a plan until you get punched in the face. You can train for boxing all day long until you get into a real fight, and then you get hit, and you're like, oh, you know what? I don't think I want to box.
He was a 33-year vet. Come on.
And what kind of gun did he have? You talking about an AR-15 versus
he probably had a revolver or a Glock, but the problem is a lot of these schools, and I'm sure, well, Yee didn't have a security guard, but I'm sure Charlamagne did. A lot of the security guards, the officers were old. Like, they were old officers. Like, it looks like they were about to retire, and this was an easy job for them when I was a kid.
Yeah, you got to think, you know, growing up, they didn't have the action that we got now. You might have to break up a fight or two or somebody getting jumped, but ain't nobody walking up in the school with AR-15s and all that chopper action.
All right, well, that is your front page news.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Get it off your chest, 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night.
We need to have Monique on during this segment.
No, stop it. Monique's on next hour, all right? But get it off your chest. Hit us up right now, 800-585-1051. Or if you feel blessed, spread some positivity this morning. Hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Pick up the mother phone and dial.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah. Hello, who's this?
What's up with it?
This
team Precious,
yeah,
man, from the Midwest. What's up with y'all? What's up, Andy? What's up,
Geek?
What's
up, bro? What's up, my brother? Peace. How are you?
Get it off your chest.
Chilling, man. I'm just living life, feeling good, man. I made it this week, man. I get another check next week. But what's up with y'all? Hey, Charlamagne, did you put the clamps on, Monique, bro? I can't listen to the interview. I'm going to have to watch it later on because it's this great white dude at work. He always playing 80s rock music. He don't want to let me get my shine on with y'all in the morning time, man. Did you put the clamps on her, bro?
I don't know what you call clamps, but, you know, I had a nice grown conversation with Monique.
They don't ever want to hear the real out of you, man, because you keep it 100, man. You got to tell them to get their fingers out the ass, man. Hey, Monique ain't talking right now. When the last time we see Monique? 3 strikes?
Listen, man, analytics don't matter. Nobody cares about the truth and the lies more entertaining, bro.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Niecy.
Hey, Niecy, get it off your chest, mama.
Hey,
good morning, guys. Well, I'm upset this morning. I'm actually upset at Charlemagne because last night you were here in North Miami, Florida, and you came to FIU event. So I'm very happy that, you know, we got to see you and, you know, you did an awesome job on stage. But I thought for some reason after the show that you were going to do like a book signing and take pictures. And it's like everyone just rushed the stage and I didn't get my chance to have you sign my book or nothing. You just left.
No, I went to the meet and greet. We had a meet and greet after. That's what I told y'all. I said, come to the meet and greet.
But you didn't tell us where or when. We were just like, where?
Charlamagne probably didn't know. That's why.
Yeah, that's not my. I don't know. That's not my job to tell y'all where the meet and greet is.
He didn't know where it was.
I didn't even know where it was.
They just guided him there.
Yeah, but Smooth to FIU.
And then you disappeared. I'm just like, wait a minute, but where? You're like, come to me, and girl. We're like, where? And then you disappeared. I'm like, come on, man. Really?
Yeah, they must. They did y'all dirty because they had food back there. Mm-hmm. We was taking pictures. I was there for a whole nother hour.
Now, Mama, if I was you, what I would do is I would get up right now and say, where? I know you're still in Miami. Can I possibly meet you somewhere and get my book signed?
You don't know if I'm still in Miami, but salute to Florida International University. FIU.
I guess we hung up on it, huh?
No, yes, you always hanging up on people too fast.
It wasn't me. I didn't hang up on people.
Why do you do that?
I didn't do it this time. I'm in Jacksonville right now. That's not me.
Watch his hands. Watch his fingers.
Why you always want to watch my fingers? I'm going to put my fingers somewhere, all right? Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset and you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, it's James.
James, get it off your chest.
Yeah, I'm not happy. I'm not mad. You know, I'm just laughing because people will believe in a God walked on water. They'll believe that God died and resurrected, you know, but they can't fathom the fact that, oh, okay, you know what, the government might be responsible for some of these mass shootings and, you know, because they want to push their mental illness agenda. Like, the brothers, they don't have mental illness. When they commit a murder or they do something, they thugs, you know, these guys are out of control, they're gangsters. But when a white guy kill up and shoot things, oh, it's mental illness. You guys jump to the mental illness thing. You know, the president is putting out mental illness. How you guys diagnosing mental illness without knowing this person, without seeing this person? So every time when these people say mental illness for white guys and taking on a Burger King, they say, you can't tell me that's not an agenda. You can't tell me. But when a brother...
You're saying he could potentially just be a disgusting, sick person. Why are we turning to mental illness?
Why are we turning to mental illness every time a white person do something, but brothers get shot down in the street? Oh, they thugs. Oh, they deserve this. Oh, they bad guys. Yo, President Trump called guys who's kneeling son of a bitches. That's what he called them, that kneeled. But a guy who shoots up somebody is mentally ill. Hi, Mr. President. You ain't diagnosed this guy. You have no medical degrees. None of these guys have medical degrees to diagnose mental illness. But as soon as somebody gets shot up, they say mental illness.
Well, I agree with you 100%, but I will say this. Sometimes it takes one to know one, and Donald Trump knows mental illness when he sees it.
Come on, man. Just like Columbus was a great guy, we got a holiday, right? They always give us this stuff to say this and that. Come on, we know what it is already. We know the agenda, so why are we acting like we don't?
All right, well, thanks for your call, man. I didn't know what to say after that. Hello, who's this?
Hello, Steve.
Hey, Steve, get it off your chest, bro.
Okay, well, the one comment the guy made about that cop at the school was scared or something because you were, like, comparing the Glock to the dude's rifle, the shooter's rifle.
He froze,
thinking,
yes.
That don't feel right. It ain't like the Glock's going to battle the rifle. The guy hits the kid with a Glock round. He's going down. It's
correct.
A Glock against a human, not a Glock against a rifle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I mean...
He's shot in the head and he's done. We call it a high-powered pellet gun kind of knock him on his ass.
Yeah, but right? you're acting like this guy was a sharpshooter, okay, number one. And number two, clearly, the guy was shook. The guy was a 33-year veteran, so how old was he?
Probably was in his 50s, and it sounds
probably
like
his 50s,
but you know
60s.
What's crazy is that even now, after all of this, he still thinks he did a good job.
He definitely didn't do a good job, especially
if
he had a gun.
He did a good job. He feels like he did what he was supposed to
do. I'm sure he was scared, and I know anybody in that situation would be scared, but he did not want to go in, and there was teachers in there without weapons that were trying to take that weapon from that guy.
Yeah, I think it was an assistant gym teacher. I think it was the junior ROC leader. Who else? And a student, I think they said.
Yeah. All right.
So some people got heart, some people don't. And, the man froze. That's just what it is.
All right. Well, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you can hit us up. Now, you got rumors on the way?
Yes, we're going to be talking about people having separations. We'll tell you who just filed for divorce, who is leaving the brand that they've been working with, and who has some comments for their ex.
Okay, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the
gossip.
The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Drake put out a new pair of OVO Jordans. They were snatched up just very quickly last week. And now the rumor is that he's going to be leaving to go to Adidas. What do you think about that?
I think that's a good move because Adidas is probably offering equity. Adidas is probably cutting checks. I doubt Jordan Brand is cutting checks. They're just letting you do the sneaker.
They absolutely are. And I think they've done it with Pharrell. They've done it with Kanye. And I think Drake is a big enough artist to do the same.
Hell yeah.
He's Drake such a big fan sneakers. Of those Jordans. But sometimes you got to go and do those smart money deals too, where they respect you enough to pay you for what you bring to the table.
Yes, because Jordan Brand is like, look, we're Jordan. You having a sneaker makes you look good. Come in here and design one, my guy.
Right.
Adidas is meanwhile.
And that's exciting as a kid, you growing up wearing your Jordans.
Yes. So. But your kids can't eat no sneakers, B. Right. But they can't eat off some equity in Adidas.
All right. Matt Barnes wished the mother of his children, his ex, a very happy birthday, Gloria Govan. Now, he said, hope this day is everything you hope for and more. Although things have been rocky, to say the least, the last 4 years, I hope that for the sake of our two beautiful baby boys, we can come together and co-parent them to the best of our abilities. No more games or bullish. They need both of our love and support equally. We lead different lives now, but we're still on the same team. Anyways, cheers to your day. Well, that seemed like a nice post until she responded. Gloria Govan wrote, LMAO, Matt Barnes, thank you, I think. And yes, one can only continue to pray that you take your own advice and learn peacefully co-parent. But until then, I'll see you in court next week because you love a frivolous lawsuit. But hey, let's keep co-parenting. And then she rolled her eyes. Well, Matt Barnes responded to that. Well, stealing money, my social security number, and forging my signature to buy your parents' nightclub and house is pretty serious. But hey, I tried. See you in court.
Don't y'all hate seeing this type of stuff play out in the public, though?
I absolutely do.
Because I didn't know none of that. And wow. they're only doing that for their followers and their audience because both of them already know what it is. So you're just doing that to put her on blast and she's just doing that to put him on blast. Like, that don't have to play out in the public.
Well, it started out with him really wishing her a happy birthday. And then it just really went loud.
Just went nasty from there.
Well, somebody got to pull back. When you see somebody being petty, when you see somebody going low, you don't always got to take it to the floor with them. Sometimes. Don't get me wrong. I love taking it to the floor. But sometimes you do have to go high when they go low.
All right. Now, this is heartbreaking. Tisha Campbell filed for divorce from Dwayne Martin. What happened?
Really?
They were together for 22 years. Married and 30 years together. So after 27 years of being together and two amazing children, it pains me to announce that I've filed for divorce. It's an emotional time, and I graciously ask for privacy for me, our children, and the rest of our family.
That's crazy, man. Dwayne and Tisha are two very good people. I had the pleasure of going to their club in L.A. at one time. It's a restaurant/lounge. Mm-hmm. It's a restaurant/lounge. Why can I not remember the name of it right now? Zen Lounge in L.A. And I kicked it with both of them, and they're both really good people. So that's sad to hear, man.
Well, Gina's back with Martin, so you know what it is. All right, Kylie Jenner. This tweet that she sent out actually might have cost Snapchat a huge loss. Their shares actually dropped by as much as 7.2%, which equals $1.3 billion. She tweeted out, so does anyone else not open Snapchat anymore, or is it just me? Ugh, this is so sad. And then right after that, bang.
Well, there was also this Snapchat update that they did that nobody liked. What was the update? Because I've been off Snapchat.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I thought they reverted back because people complained. No?
It was some update. Oh, maybe they did put it back. I don't know. I just know it was some update everybody was complaining about. And then I guess Kylie said that. But I've been off Snapchat. I've been deleted that off my phone.
You deleted
it? I ain't got that kind of time. Why you on Snapchat when you got the Instagram live thing, the Instagram story that do the same thing?
I ain't got
time for all them devices.
All right. Well, Quincy Jones has issued an apology for his recent interview that he did where he revealed a lot of different things about people like Michael Jackson, Richard Pryor. You know, you guys all heard about it. Well, he now has said this. A couple weekends ago, my six daughters, who I'm beyond proud of, took me aside to do a surprise family intervention because of some silly things I've said in two recent interviews, and I've learned my lesson. Let me tell you, I'm so grateful for my daughters because they aren't scared to stand up to their daddy. I am an imperfect human, and I'm not afraid to say it, and I'm sorry, and I'm not afraid to say it.
First of all, who is Quincy Jones apologizing to? Everybody that he talked about in that article is dead. Marlon Brando, Richard Pryor, Marvin Gaye.
I mean, the family. I guess the families of the people that passed away.
He didn't say the families. He said I went and had private conversations and personally apologized to who? And were they in heaven? You went to heaven for a second?
No, he talked to his daughters and had to apologize. Now, he goes on to say, I'm sorry to anyone whom my words offended, and I'm especially sorry to my friends who are still here with me and to those who aren't. These friends are like blood family to me. To my dear family and friends, thank you for your grace. Thank you for calling me out when I've clearly made a mistake, many mistakes. Even though sometimes it's difficult to receive criticism or discipline, especially publicly, I want you to know I hear you. I hear all of you and I thank you. So I encourage you all to please grow with me and keep on keeping on. Love an 85-year-old bow-legged man who is still learning from his mistakes.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but all the people that he talked about in that article were dead. So I don't know who he apologized to. And when you referred to yourself as a bow-legged man, you might have slept with Marlon Brando, too.
Well, right? These people do still have families, and families' feelings can get hurt by some of these things that he said. So.
Why are we just breezing past the fact that he said he's an 85-year-old bow-legged man? Why he still shooting his shot?
All right.
Like, that's a thirst trap. Like, I'm bow-legged. Old bow-legged man.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, Monique, we're going to kick it with Monique. Ooh. She came through yesterday, and she taped it on her Periscope, and she put some of it out, but we're going to get the interview on right now.
The whole interview, Monique has received Donkey of the Day a couple weeks ago, maybe a few weeks ago, and I don't think she's happy about that.
Okay, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, you guys all know Monique stopped by The Breakfast Club yesterday, and we're getting it on today. So we're going to play that for you. Special guest in the building, Miss Monique.
Good morning.
Her husband's on the phone line as well.
Brother Sydney.
Good morning.
Good morning, y'all.
Now, when Monique walked in, I gave her a hug. I wanted her to know it's all love.
Yes, he did, my love.
We just here to have a conversation. That's all
we're doing.
Now, what's going on today, Miss Monique?
A while ago, I had to come out, and I spoke in reference to Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
That we had to boycott, you know, I was asking folks to stand with us as we boycott Netflix for gender bias and color bias.
Correct.
And we were fighting for equality.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out that I had become Donkey of the Day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. By Leonard. And I got to call you by your name, baby, because...
Leonard. Yes.
Okay. Okay, baby. He's getting real special, Leonard. But we're going... Okay, Leonard.
It is Leonard.
And then I was called Donkey of the Day, and... It really caught me off guard.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I met this brother some years ago, and I met a young man that was full of humility and respect.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got on that elevator, he actually held the door. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yes, ma'am.
And I said, oh, baby, thank you. And he was just like that. Yes, ma'am. And Miss Monique, it's a pleasure to meet you. And we had a very beautiful exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to that brother, tell your mama that she raised you right.
Mm-hmm. That's a
and
fact.
He said it was my mama and my grandma.
Yes, ma'am.
So I felt like this was, and still is, a beautiful young brother making his way, but full of humility and respect. Till we fast forward, and I become Donkey of the Day. So I didn't want to have it to be hearsay. I didn't want to have anybody exchange words that I may have said to him. So my husband and I wanted to come on so we could understand how I got titled Donkey of the Day.
So why'd you give a donkey today, Charlamagne?
Well, I think it was due to the whole Netflix situation. You know, when I heard you say that, you know, you wanted us to boycott because of racial and gender bias, but then you went on to, you know, mention two brothers and a woman. So I said maybe she should be more specific and say black woman gender bias. But then also just from a business aspect, I wanted to know why did you feel like, you know, you should have gotten whatever Chris Rock got, whatever Dave Chappelle got, or whatever Amy Schumer got. Because I feel like this is a what are you doing for me right now type of industry.
Well, she didn't say what they got. She said she should have got more than she was offered.
And then, Charlamagne, you brought up an old Netflix special as well.
But that was later on. But my point was, like, you know, this is a what are you doing for me right now kind of industry. We all know Monique is a legend, but we also know that those things, those deals that Netflix are giving out are based off recent stand-up shows. Recent shows, recent concert, recent arenas, recent tours like that. So I just wanted to know why you felt like you deserved that much.
Daddy, would you like to start or would you like for me?
it didn't start with the offer where the color bias and the disrespect transpired. It started from when we had our initial conversation after Monique got her reviews from the nights in which Benjamin and Caitlin, who were representatives for Netflix, came out to see Monique, in which on two different nights they saw her get a standing ovation, which subsequently gave them reviews of amazing and great show. So when we're in the midst of having the conversation prior to them giving the offer, we're in the midst, and he says, well, I want to make it very clear that, you know, people speak about Dave Chappelle, Amy Schumer, and what they got. I want to just make it clear, you know, so we can manage expectations that everybody doesn't get those type of deal. Well, when we're in the midst of that conversation, the phone disconnects. We never reconvene. He never gets us back on. And our attorney calls me up, and we speak, and we're like, well, that was strange. Are we going to get back on the phone or not? Because anybody who does business knows that this is the key time in which to build the value of your client. Mm. Then we came back with an offer that they allegedly had sent over that our attorney and I had never received. And then on that, it was a certain time limit in which we were supposed to respond. Well, we had passed the time limit because we never received it when our attorney had asked them to please resend the offer that they had allegedly sent. It was clear that it had never been sent in the first place. That's the second red flag. When we get on the phone to discuss the offer that they had then finally sent over, initially they didn't want to have the conversation until I expressed to them, it is very ironic that the call we had was disconnected, we never reconvened, you became evasive, you can't get on the phone, now I have to express what it's feeling like, which is gender bias, color bias, and there's also an age issue that we didn't discuss that's in there as well. So those three things are what led to it, in conjunction with the fact that the very items that he said did not translate for Monique, which were her resume, what she's done in terms of movies, it didn't translate, but he said those were the things that translated for Amy Schumer. So why does Amy's resume work and Monique does not? Well, and they could not explain that.
Well, if you're just joining us, that's Sydney. That's Monique's managing husband, if you're just joining us, so you know the voices.
Well, Fry, I don't think Amy Schumer is funny. That's number one. But mm-hmm. she did sell out 50 arenas around the world, including MSG, and HBO wanted her as well. So she created a bidding war based on those stats. So I assume that's the reason her number was at that place.
Well, I want to address something because you said I assume. And then you also said, Monique is a legend. That's what you said.
Absolutely.
Right? And then when Robbie Prohl and Netflix also says, Monique is a legend, correct?
Absolutely.
And you believe that Chris Rock is a legend, as I do as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you would say Dave Chappelle is a legend, right?
Absolutely.
What makes me a different legend from Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock?
Well, when it comes to those that Netflix special, the fact that Dave Chappelle did 1,500 shows mm-hmm. prior to signing his Netflix deal. Chris Rock was on tour with the Total Blackout Tour, selling our shows arenas mm-hmm. around the world before they did that Netflix
deal. And they also
deal.
Lured him away from HBO.
I understand what y'all are coming to the table with. When I came to the table, and I said, guys, and I said it humbly, I'm the most decorated comedian alive. And I said that humbly. Mm-hmm. And then some people said, oh, Monique is crazy, till it was proven. Till everybody actually saw the numbers and said, well, I guess she's right about that. And when you say this is a what have you done for me lately, the question is, how much more do I have to do, brother? Because when you do a film called Almost Christmas, and that film has a $17 million budget, but it makes $45 million. And then my sister Amy Schumer does a film called Snatched, and that film makes $45 million, but it has a budget of $42 million. Now, what's the profit on that? I'm asking the question.
Yours made a lot more profit than Amy's.
Well,
did.
It was actually a $25 million profit.
Mm-hmm. But that movie, Amy did her Netflix deal before Snatch.
No. He said, Robbie Prohl said that was what made him also give it a deal because of the big movie that she had coming out.
Right.
And that's where we had to check.
Well, coming out. That was but she did the Netflix deal before that movie came out.
Well, no. We actually talked to the vice president of Netflix, Leonard.
Right.
And so what happens is when you're basing off of what you're assuming, and then you give me a title of Donkey of the Day, is your mother still alive?
Yes, ma'am.
And you're from what city in South Carolina?
Monk's Corner, South Carolina.
Monk's Corner. And if I was to call your mother or your grandmother, could they tell me stories of inequality that they had to deal with?
Absolutely.
So would your mother be a donkey?
No.
Would your grandmother be a donkey?
No.
I need you to explain how you gave me the title, because you're not explaining it. You're going off of what I assume. But because you're on that microphone, and when we open up these microphones, we know just how powerful our voices can be, don't we, Angela?
Yes, we do.
And we know that what we say can become law. Correct, Lenard?
Absolutely.
So when we do that, we must then explain it to our community, because we know how poisonous it can be when we put things out, but we can't back it up. We just say it.
All right, we have more with Monique when we come back. We got to talk more Netflix, her negotiations, and it gets more awkward with her and Charlamagne. So keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Monique is here. Charlamagne?
I think everything you're saying about racial bias is absolutely correct. Gender bias is absolutely correct. We know that the black woman is unappreciated and undervalued in a lot of different industries. But I think that when it comes to this Netflix situation, it's very specific. I think it's more of an individual thing than it is a collective problem. Like, can you honestly...
What we ask you is this. Can you say, if it's an individual problem, how come that there are no individuals of color who happen to be female comedians that have had the multiple million-dollar paydays with Netflix? Because what happens with the black community, it's what have you done lately? But when you are a white person in this industry, it's you're only as good as your last project.
I thought it was drawing power. I thought it was exactly the amount of people that will watch a special.
Do you think this is specific to comedians? Because I do know they've given out multi-million dollar deals to Ava DuVernay, Shonda Rhimes. So you think it's specific to the comedy industry?
Well, I'll let you answer it. What black female comedian got the multi-million dollar deal?
But don't you think it's coming? I'm sure Tiffany Haddish will be presented with something if she hasn't already.
Well, but we got to speak about the sisters that's done it.
Mm-hmm.
See, when Wanda Sykes is number 100 on Comedy Central's top comedians ever.
Number 70.
I'm sorry, Daddy. Number 70 on the top 100 ever. But they offer her 250. So what do you say to that, Lenore?
I actually asked about that. I spoke to somebody at Netflix, and they offered that deal to Wanda Sykes before this guy that does these stand-up deals even got in the position. They offered this deal to her some years ago.
Does it seem strange that you always have an answer when our finish line keeps getting moved? When I say, name me one black female comedian that's got the million-dollar payday, I'm waiting to hear the answer.
Right, so you think it's specific to comedians, because I don't know on Netflix any.
But I can't say for sure.
In history, name her.
Well, I would ask what black female comedian has sold out 50 arenas around the world.
Well, what I will tell you is this. Four beautiful black female comedians that we just got a Legends Award. Her name is Samore. Her name is Adele.
Her
name is Miss Laura. Her name is Monique. And when the Queens of Comedy was on tour, see, we made history. And I don't know if you've done your homework, because we were the only female group, black, white, Latin, Asian, to sell out consecutively around this country.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll disregard that, because you'll say, well, what did you do yesterday? See, you can't take it away.
But if I'm doing business, and I'm basing it off doing a deal with somebody who did this last year as opposed to doing it 15 years ago or 20 years ago, whenever it was, wouldn't it make more sense to do it with the person who did it just a couple years ago?
If you're doing business and you say, what's Monique's resume? Now, you're the businessman, and you're looking at that resume, and everything on that resume says number one. Everything on that resume says sell out. Now, all of a sudden, is it going to change, businessman?
Yeah. If I had to sign Kobe Bryant today, I'm not going to give Kobe Bryant a $100 million contract.
Well, you're right.
But his resume is amazing.
The difference between Kobe Bryant today and Monique today is when you're 36 in the game of basketball, you done lost your step.
Come on.
When you are 50 years old in the game of comedy, you're seasoned. And if they had to come to Netflix, to your point, because you make a very good point, and Monique had a stumble like a 40-year-old or a 38-year-old Kobe Bryant who's got a ruptured Achilles heel that you got to bounce back from, then it would make sense. But if he dropped 50 and still was dropping buckets, what would you say? Because they watched two standing ovations in two sold-out clubs.
You're absolutely right, Brother Sidney. But let me ask you this. Why not put together a theater or arena tour and sell that out and then come back to the table. Our table is special yourself.
It doesn't have to go there. See, my whole thing is that's something else. We're talking about the money offered. And my whole thing is, as a businessman, being a legend and all that doesn't necessarily matter. It's who the people want to see. You could be a legend and people love you, but if you can't attract the people to come to the place to see you or to come to Netflix to watch you, it doesn't mean anything.
Y'all talking about selling out clubs versus selling out arenas.
No, I'm saying Netflix as well.
Here would be the question.
You know what I mean?
Almost Christmas. Would you say that was a hit movie?
Definitely a hit movie.
Would you say Bessie was a hit?
Yes.
Would you say
Precious?
Precious was a hit.
Absolutely.
So the question is, so Monique, you didn't do nothing in 2017 that was on TV that we could see. So that means you're irrelevant?
I don't think anything's irrelevant. Not at all.
What happens is, when someone said to me, Monique, does it become disheartening mm-hmm. when it's your folks? It's understandable. I don't take offense. It's understandable, and I explain why. When I have to sit here and not defend, but explain to people that look like me, mm-hmm. well, when did I become irrelevant? If there was a movie out called Almost Christmas, what, in 2016? This is 2018. So now all of a sudden, oh, we don't know if people are going to show up and show out. Now, when I did a show called The Bernie and Sid Show, mm-hmm. I'm sure you know those brothers, two white brothers. Mm-hmm. And when I walked in there, Leonard, I walked in with a preconceived notion that I was going to have to defend myself.
Correct.
Because one is a strong Trump supporter and the other is a Democrat. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking I'm going to have to walk in and defend myself with these white brothers. After 5 minutes of us talking, they shut their show down. And they said, Monique, we're going to call this what this is. This is nothing but racism. And we can't sit back and allow it and watch it happen. So, no, we're going to tell our listeners to boycott Netflix until they get it right. Because you are a legend. And we have to honor and respect you. Now, those are my white brothers. Mm-hmm. Then I come to my folks. And I have to be donkey of the day, which you still haven't explained, Leonard. And you're going to have to. Because when you make those type of statements about your sister, to our community, what you're saying to the community is, as black women, you're devalued. And if you stand up and you make a stand and you say, we need equality and we have to say what's right and what's fair. And then a brother that looks like me from South Carolina says, you're the donkey of the day. You have to explain that to our community.
I've explained it. I said that I think that you're using racial and gender bias, which are actual real issues. The struggle that the black woman is going through in many industries is a real issue. But you're using it to focus on something that you're dealing with individually.
Did you just see Viola Davis come out and say pay her equally? Did you just hear that?
Absolutely.
So when you have us saying the same thing, we're saying pay us equally. You're saying, oh, Monique, this is an isolated situation. Well, then what that says is you don't know the history of this business that you're in. And you sit behind this microphone and you try to be the guru of black culture. I'm going to need you to know the history of us before you begin to label us. And once you know the history, you know I'm not saying anything unique, brother.
I just don't understand how you can justify making $13 million in 2018 for a stand-up special.
When you say justify $13 million, did you get a chance to read what the offer was?
I did read some of it, yes.
Well, you should have read all of it.
The key is, we got to read all of it, because what Chris Rock said a long time ago, if you want to hide something from a black person, put it in a book. This is not about comparing the definitive numbers as to what Amy got and what Dave and them got, because it's merit to what you just communicated. But when you ask a comedian to take $500,000 for 2 years, you can't say any jokes. They don't want you to do stand-up for 2 years. And essentially, they want you to take $500,000 and lose out on $2 million of work that you would have made on the road anyway. That right there, it doesn't make sense.
Hi, we have more with Monique when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Monique is in the building. Charlamagne?
Did y'all make a $13 million
deal?
He just asked, did we make a counteroffer? And that's a very important question.
Yeah, did you make a counteroffer?
I did see that they responded to the counteroffer and said they regretfully won't be able to do this deal. Hopefully you guys could work together in the future.
And that's the point that we have to make to you, Leonard.
But in addition to that, my love,
go ahead, Dad.
And this is in conjunction with Roland Martin and John Mary putting out a rumor that Monique was offered $3 million. and then didn't have the decency as journalists to come back and say, we apologize for the misinformation. Because if you notice, Monique keeps producing receipts. And as crazy as this sounds, this is a bigger picture than just Netflix, because what has happened was, you've heard about Lee Daniels coming out speaking in reference to how difficult Monique was and the whole nine. We live in a culture in which the ladies who are going up in a room saying hashtag me too, and people are saying, well, you know, if you're going up in a room at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know you're about to get screwed. So why do you go up there and do it? But what happens is they'll say to Monique, why didn't you go promote a movie for Lionsgate for free? Because you know what they'll do to you. So now you're in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Because the women who go up in the room, the reason why they go up in the room, they know they're going to get screwed when they go up in the room. They just don't know how bad they're going to get screwed if they don't go up in the room. What
now,
happens
Sydney,
is...
Can no, I ask you, can
so
I ask you a question
made
about
the counteroffer, though?
This is why, again, Leonard, you've got to be careful with your words. Because you called your sister donkey of the day, but you didn't do your research. And you pulled that poison out into our community without fully doing your research. And now as we sit here, you have to almost backtrack your words.
I'm not backtracking anything.
Well, when you ask a question, did you counteroffer? Mm-hmm. We put all of it out there. We put the information out there. So you were so ready to do good radio that you didn't do your homework. And when you have a conversation, you know a brother named Gerald Kelly?
Absolutely.
Would you consider him your friend?
Absolutely.
See, I was on the road with Gerald Kelly 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he called me.
And he
That's
said,
why you're here.
Monique, I talked to Charlamagne.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, man, you know I love Monique. I wasn't doing nothing but making radio.
I didn't say that.
Well,
I definitely didn't tell him that.
You had
I did say I love Monique, though.
With
yeah.
Gerald Kelly. Because, what again, when you say, did you counteroffer? See, we did. And they said there was no negotiations. You take it or leave it. But
well,
have you done your-
we didn't actually counteroffer what they said in the midst of our conversation. You've given us something to chew on. We're going to come back and reflect on it. And we said, and I said to them, trying to give them an out, are you sure? Because here's the thing. We don't want to waste your time if it's not real. However, if it's real and we can get something done, of course, we would love to do business with you.
So y'all really didn't make a counteroffer?
No, listen to what we're saying.
They said it was non-negotiable.
They were going to go back to reflect on what we had discussed. And when they came back, they said that we, based upon our discussion, we decided not to make a counteroffer in reference to what it is that you're speaking in reference to. Hopefully we can do business in the future and so forth. Because what they were trying to emphasize to us, that $500,000 was a strong enough number, and other people that they considered equal to Monique, which they did not name,
mm-hmm.
they said they've taken that number. If you notice, you're having a conversation with Monique. Why is it that Netflix won't have a conversation with people?
Because they can bank on people like Charlamagne. They can bank on our brothers and sisters like Charlamagne that will say, we'll fight them. We'll fight them for you.
I'm not fighting
you. Don't have to fight.
I'm still trying to get you and Brother Sydney to justify why you think you deserve $13 million. Was there a bidding war between platforms?
Well, when you say
I want to know something. Was
when
there
you
other-
say when you say justify, I'm gonna put my resume on the table. That's all I'm gonna have to do is I'm gonna put it on the table. When you say justify it, I'm gonna lay it out on the table for you to look at it.
Do you do the numbers and ticket sales that Chris Rock does, that Dave Chappelle does, that Amy Schumer does?
If given the opportunities, why don't you answer the question? See, if given those opportunities, you're answering the question for yourself. We're not given the same opportunities, brother. But if you do your homework,
why can't you and Sydney go out and book arena tours?
Do they go out and book their tours, or do promoters book them? See, what we're going to do right now is, and what I'm not going to do with you, now you want to play a tit for tat, and what you're saying is a black woman's resume don't matter.
I'm not saying that.
You have to be saying that.
You keep trying to weaponize things like black woman and racism and gender bias.
Why would they offer Wanda Sykes $250,000, and she's considered one of the best?
Well, that was years ago, and they said that was they would never do that now. And I literally heard this like a few weeks ago.
You guys want to interject for a second? So you did talk about the situation with Lee Daniels.
Yes.
And you talked about people saying that. Now, we've read some things also because you're here in our presence. So I would love for you to speak on this. So there are people that say that you didn't treat people well.
Yes.
And that they've had issues working with you and that you're difficult.
Yes.
So let's address some of that because Roland Martin brought it up when you guys spoke on Twitter.
Yes.
And he talked about the Ebony magazine cover shoot that you did with Chris Rock and Steve Harvey.
Yes.
And he said that it was a nightmare because of you. What happened at that shoot?
Well, what happened at that shoot was a check was thrown at one of our assistants. And you don't throw anything at anyone. And I had a problem with that. See, they won't fill you in on all that happened. So you had to let that person know that's not how you do business and that's unacceptable. So I have no problem speaking on it. When they said I mistreated people on Almost Christmas, well, we have 20 interviews because we knew that they would say something like that. With the people that worked in the background professionals, the lighting guys, the camera guys, where they all said our experience with Monique was stellar. What happens is you hear the bullies speak out, but then the bullies run. Because when those videos did come out, did Roland Martin come back? When the videos did come out, just with the three little videos, you heard nothing else, did you?
Let's backtrack a little bit because with Will Packer.
Yes.
Okay, so Will Packer and Roland Martin and, you know, a lot of people have spoken out that have dealt with you personally.
Yes.
And said these things. But I haven't really heard anybody say anything negative about Will Packer, about working with Lee Daniels. And I haven't heard them say anything negative about some of the people that they've worked with. So why is it
I can answer that. That's a great question. You know the guy Harvey Weinstein?
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to do that for how many years?
Decades.
And why do you think that was?
Well, they were working with a lot of people who felt like their career would be in jeopardy if they spoke out.
Do you think this is a unique situation? Do you think that people are fearful to speak out when they're mistreated?
It's a difference between mistreatment and sexual assault, Monique. Like, we can't put out false equivalencies about people. I understand what you're trying to say.
Wait a minute, Charlamagne.
But it's a difference between mistreatment and sexual assault.
Let me say this to you.
Like, it's levels to mistreatment.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
But mistreatment is mistreatment.
And you can't paint Will in the same just with the same brush as Harvey Weinstein.
Let me say this, because based upon the information that you have, you feel comfortable with it because this is the world we live in. If you keep hearing it, it seems as if it's true. Ask David Talbert, who was the director of Almost Christmas, if Monique had to stop because Will Packer was given directions over the director, and he's the producer, and Monique said, stop for a moment, please. What we're not going to do is disrespect this black director, because if he was a white director, you as the producer would not give direction over him. And to his credit at that moment, he seemed to have got it and was embarrassed by what it was that he had done. And the reason she had a difficulty with one of the individuals who were the first AP or something like that, she had walked into Monique's trailer while she was undressed without knocking. And I don't know if you know, but there was a letter that Steve Harvey had written a while ago in reference to how people just walk into his room. What happens is she's the type of person that doesn't allow people to get disrespected. And she's not going to have an issue with the people that are the hourly wage folks. It's typically the people who are the powerful ones. She's not having no beef with nobody. There were people that were getting their fingers pointed in their face that happened to be black women by white men on the set of Precious. And she said, I can't allow that to happen, guys. So what happens is you are forgetting that this is a country that had slavery for hundreds of years. And when do we start realizing that we are so conditioned to normalize bad treatment when white men are able to say, hey, guys, she's right? How does the black community not see it?
All right, we have more with Monique when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Monique in the building still. Charlamagne?
I want to know about this, though. Have you received other offers from other streaming services?
Let me say this.
Because doesn't that help with negotiations when you can
create
a bidding war?
Because of that black ball being put over my head, the offers that come in from Netflix they can come in low like that because they know you've been blackballed. You know what the word is about you.
Mm-hmm.
So we assume that you're suffering, and we can offer you whatever we want to offer you. So the offers have come in even lower than that.
You had a Netflix special beforehand, though, right?
Well, I didn't have a Netflix special. What happened was...
they took the one and put it on there.
Exactly. Did. I didn't make any deal with Netflix. Well, so those shows just happened to be on there, and they've been on there for a long time. So someone would say, if this woman's not bringing in any views, why would we hold on to the content? They've been on there for a minute. So as
are
I
they getting the views?
Well, I'm assuming so. We don't get a report on that.
Mm-hmm.
But as I sit here again, and I sit between my sister... who I know you deal with inequality, Angela. You in the same business I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll look at me and you'll say, well, I need you to explain to me. They said you was a problem here and a problem there. We all know when you don't allow bullies to take place and when you don't allow yourself to get bullied, don't you get labeled?
Yes. But can I just, for full disclosure...
please.
There are definitely people that I know that have worked with you on the Ebony shoot.
Yes.
And I've heard things, well, they've told me personally, people that were in the room.
Say their names. And if not, like I told Lenard before, keep it on the playground.
Well, okay, so I saw on Alfred Edmond Jr., who's the editor-in-chief of Black Enterprise magazine.
Yes.
I saw that Amy Dubois Barnett, who was the editor-in-chief of Ebony at the time of that shoot, mm-hmm. who was very excited to have you on the shoot, she left a comment because he posted something about you and the numbers and about your worth and how you are the most decorated comedian and... she commented, it was a nightmare working with her, and I would never want to go through something like that again. I saw that comment is still on his page now.
I would love to sit down and talk with that sister face to face so she can tell me about the nightmare, because what they won't do is they won't fill it in. See, they won't fill in. We were being arrogant, and we wanted to treat that woman as if we were doing her a favor by putting her on the cover. As my husband told me years ago, we don't disrespect anyone, but we over-respect no one. And I want you to look at me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big, fat black woman.
You're not fat. Stop it.
Real talk. What big, fat black woman has to stand up and says, this is not fair, because what the feeling is with some of our sisters and brothers, Monique, you should be grateful you just got invited to the party because of the way you look. So for anyone that says they ever had a problem with me, bring them to the table. Bring them to the table and let's have a conversation. But what you'll find is, we'll speak about this woman when she can't see us. We'll make comments, but we're the type of people that say, let's have a conversation. And when you find out that they're wrong, will you then speak up loudly for me as you speak up for them?
I absolutely would. But Sister Monique and Brother Sin, y'all want to ask you a question. Let's just talk numbers. If you put your numbers up against the Amy Schumers, the Chris Rocks, the Dave Chappelle, and I'm talking about selling out arenas all over the world, how can you justify getting a huge payday like that?
When you're saying that you're going to offer her 1/26 of what Amy Schumer got, and you're referring to Monique as a legend, and you're seeing her performance, and you see the people standing up for her at the end of the show, have you read the reviews to the Netflix special for Amy Schumer?
I don't think Amy's funny. Amy got me blocked on Twitter because I don't think she's funny. You don't got to tell me on that.
This is the part, Daddy, and we got to wrap up the show.
But Amy did sell out 50 arenas around the world, including MSG a few times.
So
she had an HBO special that did great, and this was all in 2016.
Here's what Brother Lenard is saying. Let this year another show comes and they become number one and not The Breakfast Club. And then let a host come in here that's been doing it for maybe 5 years less than you, and then they get paid 26 times more than you. Then you come back and have a conversation with us. Because,
that's all.
Right, that's all. Because what happens is when you sit here and you say, make it make sense, well, we don't have to. Because
you do have to make it make sense, especially if you're calling on people to boycott Netflix and you're using things like racism and gender bias.
Because we're saying, here's the resumes, guys.
In conjunction with that, the only thing we're saying is, if hypothetically speaking, it wasn't $13 million, Charlamagne, what we're saying is, how come there's not, they're saying to the community that it's not one black woman that is a veteran comedian out there today that is worth a seven-figure number.
So what would have been a respectable number for Ms. Monique? I don't want to know.
Here's the thing,
Let me give you a respectable number for Monique. Something that would supersede what she would have made in 2 years, and gotcha. At the very least, what she would have made 2 years to be able to take the 2 years off that they're contractually asking her to do to not be able to tell jokes. You would not take a deal because they're going to give you a lump sum of cash that's going to castrate you out of 3/4 of your income. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So yes. If the deal didn't include the 2 years and didn't have that you couldn't tell jokes.
If I would have taken a deal for $500,000, Angela, mm-hmm. what position would that have put the babies that's coming after me?
No, the deal is foul. The deal is absolutely positively foul. Nobody says the deal is right, but, you know, and Sydney, you're a businessman. Monique, you're a businesswoman, right? The deal is foul. I mean, let's be clear.
And that's why you counteroffer.
But based on everything that they're hearing and based on what they know Monique's reputation as far as what people are rumored to say, right?
I don't even know if that matters.
It does matter. They know that other networks are not necessarily giving her the money or giving her less. They know what it is. So why would I give, as a business person, her an obscene number when I know she can't get it anywhere else? It's foul, but it's business.
But if you're saying, Monique, it is foul, are right. So if we know it's right, and we know it's foul, then what do we do?
We do it on our own.
That's just like talking to Steve Harvey. And Brother Steve Harvey says, Mo, I know you're right. And I know you're not lying. But could you have done it another way?
No, you don't have to do it another
way. What's the suggestion? What's the other
way? I don't want you to do it any other way.
We do it on our own, but we still got to speak up. Like you say, Angela, well, just go somewhere else. Do you know how long we've been going somewhere else?
I think the problem started with you coming out comparing yourself to Chris Rock. Dave Chappelle.
And why should... Here's the thing.
I think because there's no way that you can justify getting that amount of money that they got. Now, should you have gotten more than $500,000? Yes, and I've said that from day one.
Well, here's what I'll say, brother.
That's what we're saying, though.
That's not what y'all were saying. Know, what y'all were saying was y'all should have got the same amount that Chris Rock, Chappelle, and Amy Schumer got.
Let me answer that, Daddy. What I said was, if I'm considered a legend like my brothers, then why wouldn't I get what legends get?
Because
that is exactly what I said.
Because their resume recently is better. You can just prove it on paper.
We're going to, listen, Leonard, we're going to let you hold on to that.
Monique gets to go too.
But what I will say to you is, and to all the black women and women of color that is listening, when you hear this brother's voice come over the air, and I'm unapologetic about what I'm getting ready to say, he does not have a value on black women and women of color.
How can you say, why do you say that? But you said 10 years ago, I held the door for you. You think that's contradictory?
I'm going to tell you why I said it. Because what happens is, when you leave a place called
Monk's Corner,
South Carolina, and you come to a big city named New York, and then you change your name to Charlemagne the God.
I was Charlemagne in Monk's Corner, Miss Monique.
Well, when you were there, you become Charlemagne the God. Now, I don't know if you took the same principles that your mama and your grandmama gave you in Monk's Corner and you brought it to Manhattan, New York. Because the brother I did meet on that elevator, I met a brother that was full of principle. And I met a brother who would not call a sister a donkey of a day.
Unless
he knew all the information and he could back up his statements. But as we sit here and we did this interview, you begin to ask questions that you should have asked before you make the statement. So what
I'm asking you the questions, but y'all really don't have any answers. Y'all still have not justified why you feel like you should have gotten that money. And y'all backtracked and said you don't think she should have got that.
We're not backtracking.
No, we're not saying that.
And here's the thing, Daddy.
There will be some
brothers and sisters that get it the way that they get it, and we get it the way that we get it, and it's not an argument. I respect your decision. I respect your opinion.
No doubt.
Because you're entitled to it. However, as we are entitled to ours. So what I am saying, that the devalue you place on black women, and you say, how can I say that? Because out of your mouth, you're saying there is no black female comedian that is worth that money.
No, I did not say that. I said there hasn't been. I think Tiffany Haddish is absolutely...
When you say there hasn't been, if I go down the list of black female comedians and the work that those sisters have put in through the years that opened up doors so that people like you could sit where you sit. Her name is Marsha Warfield. Her name is Dea Vidal. Her name is Moms Mabley, which she's no longer with us. The list goes on and on and on, which we've never gotten our just due.
Miss Monique, Monique,
wrapping it up, what are you going to do moving forward as far as with this special?
We're going to keep on pushing. See, the special's going to happen, baby.
Right. So
that's going to happen.
Okay.
And we're going to let y'all see it. But what we're going to do with this situation right now called the fight for inequality, we're going to keep standing. And we're going to hope that sisters like you would stand with us to say, when it's inequality, we must speak up and we must speak loudly because your daughters are coming.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Ms. Monique, for coming.
All right, that was Monique, ladies and gentlemen. Again, she came through yesterday, and we just got it on today. Donkey of the Day is up next, so let's open up the phone line. Charlamagne.
Yes.
So the question is, 800-585-1051, do you feel Monique deserved Donkey of the Day?
Yeah, usually at 4 after the hour, we do Donkey of the Day. But since Donkey of the Day has gotten under Monique's skin so much, and I've never had somebody push back on me for being Donkey of the Day like Monique has, I want to know, after hearing this interview and everything that we've been seeing, do you feel like she deserves Donkey of the Day for this Netflix situation? Once again, I agree with everything she's talking about when it comes to inequality and racial bias and gender bias, but I don't think that has anything to do with the fact that she's just not as hot as Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, and Amy Schumer, and that's why she didn't get that paycheck.
All right, don't sway the jury. 800-585-1051. Do you feel Monique should have got Donkey of the Day? Call us up now.
You get Donkey of the Day. Yeah, you dumb ass. You get Donkey of the Day. Yeah, you dumb ass.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, huh? I'm going to fatten all that shit around your eye.
They want this man to throw them blows, man. They're waiting for Charlamagne to tap these gloves. Let's go.
They had to make the judgment of who was going to be on the Donkey of the Day. They chose you.
Yes. The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Now, usually we do Donkey of the Day right here.
Yes, usually Donkey of the Day is here, but since Monique mentioned Donkey of the Day 76 times in a one-hour span, and she's very upset about being Donkey of the Day.
Very upset.
After hearing the interview, and, you know, I just want to know, do people think she deserved to get Donkey of the Day?
That's
all I want to know. I just want to open up the phone line and talk to the people.
1051. Hello, who's this?
This is Caleb.
Hey, Caleb. You think Monique deserved Donkey of the Day?
Yes, I absolutely think she deserved Donkey of the Day. Like, see it like this, Envy. Say you selling a pair of shoes for $200.
Right.
And the person you selling the shoes to for $200 don't necessarily think they're worth $200. They think they may be worth $100. Can you get mad at that person because they want to buy for $100? Or were you, the best thing to do is go sell that shoes to another person on the street, see how much you can get for them. You can't get mad at Netflix because they don't want to offer you what you think you... Like, Netflix doesn't own Monique. That's the thing.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I said the same thing. I said Netflix is a business. And if I'm the owner of Netflix and I know Monique has rumored that she's hard to work with, that nobody else wants to give her a deal, I'm not going to offer her a lot of money either. She has nowhere else to go. That's business.
And I'm going to tell you something else about business 101.
What's that?
When presented with a deal, if you don't like the offer, counteroffer. And after every first deal, you probably going to have to counteroffer. There's no first deal that you take and you love it. And she didn't even counteroffer.
I think in general, in life, people know that companies always offer you a lowball number because they do expect you to come back with the counteroffer.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning, Danielle. Did Monique deserve Donkey of the Day when she got it?
No, she did not.
Why?
How many more years do they got to work? 25, 30, 40 years in the game and you still making a fool of it like they came in the game yesterday. This is our legend. We don't throw away Richard Pryor like that. And Richard Pryor would have got an offer for $500,000 giveaway 2 years of your work. You would have been having a Netflix would have had to pay. And the fact that they saying you saying yourself envy that nobody else is giving it to us, that shows that she's not only being black-balled but being ostracized. That means who else are they doing it to that's quietly sitting by doing it themselves? That's not fair. This is more than black men. And if black men want us to stand up and empower black people with them, they got to stand behind their black women when the black women are being ostracized too. And there's more people in this game than Oprah. And Oprah putting folks on for selective generosity exists. And we can't keep doing our own like that. Not in hip-hop, Monique, hip-hop.
Yeah, right.
Listen, man, this is the thing. No disrespect to none of the legends. But even some of these legends will tell you they know they can't get the paydays that some of these new people get. But we keep talking about these paydays like Chris Rock hasn't been in the game for over 20-plus years. Dave Chappelle hasn't been in the game over 20-plus years. You know why Dave and Chris got these big paydays? Because they're still hot right now. Because they're still out here selling out arenas. Dave Chappelle did 1,500 shows before he did his Netflix deal and was selling out Radio City Music Hall. Chris Rock is all over the world selling out arenas. Please tell me when the last time you seen Monique in an arena.
No, it's drawing power. Like you said, it's drawing
it's
power.
Drawing
Chris
power.
Rock can sell out Madison Square Garden. I don't know if Monique can. And since she said it was hip-hop, Big Daddy Kane, I'm going to bring it to hip-hop, is a legend. One of the reasons why I love hip-hop so much. Could he sell out Madison Square Garden right now by himself? I don't think so.
And Jay-Z
would get that money to do it. Or a new artist like Lil Uzi Vert probably can. That's why they would give him the money. That doesn't mean Big Daddy Kane is not a legend, because he is. But they're going to give the money to the person that has the big and drawing power.
And once again, I don't think Amy Schumer is funny. But we're not going to sit here and act like she did not do a 50-city arena tour around the world and sell it out in 2016. That's why she got that money.
Produce his own special and then end up selling it to Netflix after. I feel like things like that also give you more leverage. It's already done. It's packaged. Do you guys want it? It's a quick, easy thing for them to pick up.
Another thing, too. Well, you know what? Let's talk about some more when we come back. I got some other little tidbits I want to share with y'all.
Okay. Well, that was Donkey today. When we come back, 800-585-1051. When we come back, did Monique deserve Donkey of the Day? We're going to talk about it some more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Charlamagne gave Monique Donkey of the Day. Now, why did you give a donkey today? I can't even remember now. What was the specific reason, if there was one?
I mean, I gave her a donkey of the day because I feel like she's weaponizing things like racial bias and gender bias and how undervalued and unappreciated the black woman is. I mean, all of those issues are very, very real, but I think she's weaponizing them because she's simply just not as hot as she once was. So being that she's not as hot as she once was, she can't get the paydays from Netflix that Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, and Amy Schumer got. And she called for a boycott of Netflix based off those very real issues. And I just don't like to see people weaponize real issues for their own personal gain.
All right. And we're asking 800-585-1051. Do you think Monique deserved Donkey of the Day? Hello, who's this?
Yo, man, what up, man? My name is Ref Montana, man, from Louisville, Kentucky. What up, y'all?
What's up, bro? We're talking Monique this morning. You think she deserved Donkey today?
Man, let me keep it all the way 100 with y'all, man. To ask the world to literally boycott something that, you know, we do every day when people don't have cable, yeah, you deserve Donkey for that. But I do want to say this much, because I've listened to the interview. I've been trying to call y'all for days. I've been trying to speak on that Faison Love situation. Charlamagne, I slightly agree with you when you say people who aren't funny and are funny. Dave Chappelle's not funny to me. But for them to get $60 million, I think they should have done something better for Monique. That's just my personal opinion.
But Dave may not be funny to you, but Dave is funny to tens of millions of other people who come to his show all the time, and they're sold out. Dave sold out Radio City Music Hall like a million times.
Yes.
What are we talking about here?
But thank you for your call, bro.
Monique should be concentrating her energy into actually doing like another special or something like that, because I feel like she's doing a tour about her boycott.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning. This is Candace from Jersey. Okay, so can I comment on the whole Monique thing?
Go ahead, Candace.
She absolutely deserved Donkey of the Day, because see, here's my thing. I think Monique is a legend. I do think she has an extensive resume, but she hasn't done anything like currently that makes her as qualified as Amy Schumer to get an $11 million deal with Netflix. I feel like she shouldn't have worried about what was in Amy's bag, and she should have got her own bag. And if she really feels like there's an inequality in black women or women in the Hollywood business, she should get her own studio. Build your brand and get your own studio. Then you won't have to worry about doing deals with Netflix and being under their, you know, negotiation deals that's not, you know, suited to your liking. But you got to do something. You can't worry about somebody else trying to get your own.
She said she can't go out there and do her own arena tour. We asked her that. She said the reason she can't is because promoters won't allow her to, or promoters don't book her or whatever.
People don't necessarily like her, correct?
Well, I want to say this. Those top-tier comedians like Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Kevin Hart, promoters don't give them work, okay? Those guys give the promoters work, and they determine what dates those promoters' services are needed.
And I'm going to say something so real, right? Charlamagne, when you got to The Breakfast Club, right? You had just got fired from a radio station for the fourth time. Your reputation wasn't the best in the world, that people thought that you were a bully.
My reputation was that I was a liability.
A liability and a troublemaker, right?
So when
When The Breakfast Club gave you that offer, was it a great offer, or was it the lowest offer of the low?
I was broke. It was low. I mean, it was. I mean, it wasn't.
It wasn't
it was
the
low.
Lowest of the
yeah.
low.
It was. It wasn't the lowest of the low. I will say it was the most I had ever made in radio up to that point. But based off what I'm making now, it's not even close.
But you had to build up something where people knew that you were a draw, and then you was able to knock them over the head. Correct?
Absolutely. I had to get those numbers.
You had to prove yourself.
Once people realized that, you know, I'm not the liability that they think I am, that I'm actually a nice guy to work with. That helped. But most importantly, it's the numbers. If I didn't have these numbers, when we first started the Breakfast Club, how many markets were we in?
One.
New York City. Now we in 80-plus markets around the country and 150 countries via the Armed Forces Network. We've got a crazy YouTube following. Of course I'm going to get that coin now.
And that's Why the not? Point. 800-585-1051. We're talking Monique this morning. Do you think she deserved Donkey of the Day? We'll take your calls when we come back. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, we're talking Monique. She was here earlier today. Well, actually, she was here yesterday. We played the interview today. And we're asking, did she deserve Donkey of the Day when Charlamagne gave her Donkey of the Day weeks ago? That is the question. Now, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Kiana from Austin.
Hey, Kiana, did you think Monique deserved Donkey today?
Absolutely not. Charlamagne, I usually listen to him every morning, and I'm very disgusted with the fact that he did this to her, and I'm going to tell you why.
Go ahead.
I believe Monique in so many ways, and I can relate to her, because even though I'm not in the filming industry, I'm in the finance industry, and I am the only black mortgage banker at my job for a retail bank in the five boroughs, all of Westchester County, and I get black calls all the time. So it's like, you know, they try to paint black women as aggressive, and we ask for more than what we are worth, but I just found out the other day that a lot of other loan officers that are not people of color are getting paid more on their deals. You know, so I can believe it. She has an extensive resume. I grew up off of Monique watching The Parkers alone. And, you know, he just acts like her legacy is not worth nothing.
No, not at all.
That's not what I'm saying, my love. The fact of the matter is Netflix is not giving deals based off resumes and legacy. They're giving deals based off what are you doing right now. We're acting like Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Amy Schumer are not selling out arenas right now and haven't been for the past 4 years. And like prior to getting these Netflix deals. That's why they got these big Netflix deals.
And the other thing I would say to you is not really just about Netflix. And I know I keep bringing this up, but I know she's had issues with people like, and she's called them out, Lee Daniels, with Will Packer, with Oprah. And these are people of color also. And Oprah's a black woman. And I think that also affects certain things. She could have been doing more projects with them, but because of whatever happened behind the scenes, it's not happening for her.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm happy to be on that list, Monique. I'm happy. I'm glad that you have me on the list of people that you don't like Oprah, Tyler, Lee Daniels. I'm fine. Thank you.
My goodness.
Nice list to be on. I also want to say this too, man. Like when it comes to like Madison Square Garden, nobody puts you in Madison Square Garden. Like comedians do so much business in other places that it becomes an option. Like somebody like Dave Chappelle doesn't like arena, so he'll do multiple shows at Radio City. That's Dave's choice. Amy Schumer chose to play the Garden because she had the option, and the Garden booked her based on past ticket sales. Comics make their own opportunities. This isn't the record business. So when Monique says that they won't allow her to do arenas, it's not that they won't allow her. She just don't have the option based off her past and current ticket
you
sales.
You don't think the drawing power. She doesn't have the drawing power to fill it.
That's simple.
I do believe that $500,000 is not what she's worth, but
in this situation,
if nobody's giving you a deal and the deals that you got are less than that, and I know that your name is poo because people say that you're hard to work with, I would give you a low deal as well. I honestly would, because this is business. This is not about your legacy. If it was about legacy, I'd give you all the money in the world. But this is about business. And I think Monique understands that. Let's go to
the next. I'll tell you one thing she don't understand. Oh, go ahead.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up, man? It's Tom.
Tom, do you believe Monique should have got Donkey today?
Yes. Give it to her again. Yo, that's messed up. The problem I got with it is because she's being divisive. You know what I'm saying? She's using racial bias and gender bias. And then she would even want to bring in black producers like Will Packer and Lee Daniels and compare them to people like Harvey Weinstein. Like,
horrible.
That guy's a sexual predator, you know? And you comparing our black producers to him to make a point. Like, where there's smoke, there's fire. Everybody's came out and said that she's difficult to work with. Everybody, black men, black women. So stop using the racial thing and stop using the gender thing and just accept it for what it is. Like,
right.
It's not working for you right now.
And she's pulling.
And that's why I give her a donkey of the day to begin with, because she's weaponizing racial bias, gender bias, and these real issues like black women being underappreciated and undervalued in the workplace for a personal situation. Like she now, knows it's a, she knows that what's going on with her and Netflix has nothing to do with anything but analytics. Period.
But I do.
She don't
I
got
do,
the numbers.
I do love the fact that we can come up here as a community and be able to talk about it, whether we agree or disagree. So we appreciate Monique for coming up here. But one
I show Monique love. She ain't show it back though.
Hold on. One thing I was gonna say that I thought was a little strange and a little crazy, and I did not like what Monique did, but that was on you, Charlamagne, was continue to call your government name. You know. That was a sign of disrespect. That was she was trying to be funny and disrespectful.
That's his real name.
His name is Charlamagne the God on the radio.
His name is Leonard McKelvey. My mama named me that. What is wrong being called my name? You think my mama calls me Charlamagne the God?
Your name is Charlamagne on the radio. That's
my
your
mama
name on the radio. That's
my wife calls me Leonard.
So every guest that comes up here, we can call you Leonard?
That's my name. I don't listen.
Yes or no?
What are you so upset about?
Okay, then I don't care. If you don't care, I don't care. Leonard.
Yes.
Let's wrap this up.
Rashawn, Leonard, what's next?
It's a lot of things we can say about this Monique interview.
Well, but let me do that over. Daddy, let's wrap this up.
Oh, thank you, my love. Listen, my love, if it's one thing that we can take from this Monique interview, if it's just one thing I want everybody to take, is business 101. When presented a deal, if you don't like the offer, counteroffer. And after every first deal, you will have to counteroffer. If you don't counteroffer, you have no one to blame but yourself. They did not counteroffer, which is crazy to me. That alone is the craziest thing I took away from that interview. I don't even know what we're talking about or what we're debating if you didn't even counteroffer. And by the way, Monique thought they did counteroffer, but her husband said they didn't counteroffer. So it sounds like it's a miscommunication between talent and management, but that ain't my business. Hope y'all enjoyed the show today.
And shout to Monique. I do think she's funny, and I think that $500,000 was a way low offer, but I think she should have counteroffer. And,
well,
and I wish her the best.
People on her Periscope like.
Yeah, that's what she said. But, you know, I think she's funny, you know, and I would definitely wish her the best.
By the way, go check out Dave Chappelle's new stand-up on Netflix as well as Chris Rock called Tambourine, all right? I can't recommend Amy Schumer's because I don't think it's funny. But Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock, go check it out.
Now, Daddy number two. Daddy number two.
I'm not your daddy.
We got
but
rumors on the way.
You are my
son. But I'm your son. Shut up. We got rumors on the way.
Yes, we are going to talk about Tiffany Haddish and Oprah Winfrey. We got some great news.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Rumor report. This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Yes, Tiffany Haddish, congratulations to her. She is going to be hosting the 2018 MTV Movie and TV Awards. Congratulations.
Top on the clues bonds for Tiffany Haddish.
Tiffany Haddish, she also did a two-year first look deal, which we already know with HBO. And she's starring in an animated series for Netflix, Tuka and Birdie. And so that's pretty exciting. She's been having...
Stop being petty.
Absolutely incredible time so far, okay? Ever since Girlship, things have just been crazy. Her last book, The Last Black Unicorn, was a New York Times bestseller. Her stand-up special, Tiffany Haddish, She Ready, was on Showtime last year. Yep. And she was also the first black stand-up comedian to host Saturday Night Live. So shout
and
out
she's
to
got like She got like 8 movies on deck, and the most important thing is this, a lot of them are coming out through her She Ready Productions, and she got the last OG TV show coming on TBS with Tracy Morgan.
That's right. She'll be in Night School. That's going to be in theaters later this year alongside Kevin Hart. So congratulations. Here she is making that big announcement.
Hey, it's me, Tiffany Haddish, coming straight at you with some good news. I'm going to be hosting the MTV Movie and TV Awards June 18th. Check it out. Monday night. It's going to be off the chain because you know why? I'm hosting. And you know what that means. It's going to be hilarious.
All right, we're looking forward to that. She was also on with Ellen DeGeneres, and this was pretty exciting for her. So here's how it all played out. Okay, Tiffany Haddish was talking about how she really wants to open a farmer's market with Oprah. Check it out.
You had a business proposition for her, and I forgot what it was. Oh, it was about vegetables.
Yes. Tiffany owns vegetables, because I know she got... I've been checking out pictures and stuff and doing my research, and I see she got a lot of land. She got a lot of garden, right? Yeah. So I only got a little bit of garden. My garden is in the hood, so I had came up with a whole business plan, right? Mm-hmm. With mostly her vegetables and then some of mine.
Uh-huh.
And then we just go to different farmers' markets.
Right.
And we bring our vegetables, and we set
Tiffany
up a...
Tiffany
O's.
I like that.
Because I'm probably going to be doing most of the work.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, probably, Tiffany.
Drop on the clues bonds with Tiffany.
she said. What makes her think Oprah won't be right there beside her pulling out the weeds and growing plants? But anyway.
All I know, she's been offered more than $500,000.
Tiffany Haddish also says that she wrote lots of letters to Oprah as well. Listen to this.
I did this movie called Their Eyes Are Watching God, and I was an extra, and it was a movie that Oprah was producing, and she had walked by, and I was making all the other extras laugh and stuff. I was telling jokes, and she's like, "You're a very funny young lady." I was like,
"Yeah."
And she was like, "What's your name?" I said, "My name is Tiffany Haddish, and I'm a stand-up comedian." And she said, "Well, keep me updated on your career. Write me. Let me know what you got going on. I love comedy." I said, "Oh, yeah, I know her." And so I would write her, right?
Right.
And I never got any reply.
Nothing. All right, well, guess what? There was a reply, and it all went down on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. Here is where Oprah steps out and surprises her.
You are so, so, so good.
Thank you.
You're so, so, so good.
You told me that before in a dream.
No, it's true. It's true.
You know, I ask questions and I answer them in your voice.
Really?
Yes. You done told me to pray so many times.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. No, I'm so proud of you. This is big. This is big. You know what? I lost the letter. I never made it.
But I sent you like six.
Okay.
Kids, let me tell you something. If you don't know what favor look like, look no further than Tiffany Haddish. Okay? She is blessed, black, and highly favored for real, for real. All right? If you don't know what favor look like, look no further than her.
All right, well, she then posted her picture with Oprah and said, "So just so y'all know, I posted it 3 times because I am that damn happy. Yes, 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 I cried, and yes, I asked her to be my auntie. So all thanks be to God for always coming through. You hear my prayers and answer accordingly. Amen." All right, beautiful. Now, here's something else I'm really excited about, and this is on Netflix. All right, this is going to be a movie based on Roxanne Shanté, the movie. Nas posted it as well. Congrats to the queen of the crew called The Juice. Shanté, Queensbridge, stand up. Congrats to Pharrell on this one. I can't wait to see this. Roxanne. So it's actually going to be March 23rd on Netflix. It's a story of Roxanne Shanté. She was 14 years old. She was a member of the Juice Crew Hip Hop Collective. It stars Nia Long, Mahershala Ali, Adam Horovitz from the Beastie Boys, Ad Rock from the Beastie Boys, and more. And it also is co-produced by Pharrell, Mimi Valdez, and Forest Whitaker. That's awesome.
That's dope.
Is anybody else as excited? I'm going to ask you March 23rd. I'm going to have like a viewing party or something because I'm really excited to see that.
I actually tried out for one of the roles in that movie. Didn't get it.
Yeah, you didn't get it, huh? No.
Yeah.
What role?
I don't even
part of the Juice Crew.
Remember? No, it wasn't part of the Juice Crew. I mean, it wasn't like a large role. It was like a promoter at a club or a manager or something. I don't remember. This was a while ago.
Roxanne.
At least 2-3 years ago. But dropping a clue bomb for Roxanne Shanté.
All right.
The trailer looks dope too.
Well, I'm Angela Yee. Yeah, it was very visual, or I would have played it for you guys. But make sure you go and look that up. So super excited for the Roxanne movie. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, the People's Choice mixes up next. Let us know what you want to hear. We'll get your request on, and it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.